Hi everyone, and welcome to this lecture where I talk about content marketing. This is the positioning the lecture to the course framework, and when it comes to content marketing, it is highly important at every stage of the MRACE model. So it's actually very difficult to position to just one stage because whatever we kind of do, whether we do advertising, or we're trying to reach customers, we need good content to gain the interest of those customers. When we talk about activating and converting on the website, again, we need good content to support the purchasing processes. And when we want to engage and increase the loyalty of our customers, again, we need some content or resources that we provide for the customers so that they stay with us. So it's difficult to position, and I'll come back to this point many times during the lecture. The learning goals are here. So after this lecture, a student should be able to explain the key principles of digital content marketing. So I'm talking a little bit about the philosophy of digital content marketing, how it deviates from generic advertising, for example. And then the second objective is to be able to design valuable content that matches different race stages of different buyer personas. So obviously this again depends a lot about the company and its offering. What is the valuable content? And we're going to discuss that. But also, it depends on what kind of customers you have. So, what kind of buyer personas you have, and what are their needs, and how your sort of offering matches these needs, and what could be the content that the customers actually value. Now, let's start with content marketing in general. So, the digital content marketing is a novel term, and it wasn't used back in the days, but it's definitely not something totally new when it comes to the philosophy of content marketing. And by showing some legendary content marketing initiatives, I'm trying to sort of illustrate the logic behind content marketing. So let's start from the left-hand side. So Michelin Guide, many people know or have heard of the Michelin Guide, but very few people associate it with the Michelin car tire manufacturer. But that is its origin. And the idea that is very old, that comes from the late 19th century and early 20th century. The car manufacturer Michelin created this guide with the idea that they can actually provide something of value to their customer. And at the time, the Michelin guide was not just a restaurant rating system. It was much broader than that. So originally, it was something equivalent to maybe Lonely Planet today. So it was this guide that helped customers to travel in France. So that was the origin. And why did they came up with this guide? Well, they lived in a time where customers or people in general were not that prone to traveling. It was not something that common people did. Car was a very luxurious item. Few people had it, first of all. And they wanted to sort of encourage people to travel. So they had this guide where they listed different attractions, hotels, restaurants, and so on. And they wanted to encourage people to travel in France. Why? What's the business logic for car tire manufacturer? Well, the logic was that the more people travel, the more they use their cars, and the more they will their or the faster their car tires will wear out so that they can sell new car tires. So this was the logic which illustrates the logic behind content marketing, which is not directly about selling or promoting products, but instead it is about giving something of value for the customers that indirectly then leads into new sales. So that's the core logic. The example on the right-hand side is the Guinness Book of World Records. I think it's the latest name, and I think it comes from around 50s, and a bit similar story to the Michelin Guide. So to understand the case, you need to understand something about the British culture, especially in the 50s, where the pubs were often called the living rooms of the British people. So people actually spend quite some time in pubs, and probably they still do. Now, the logic behind this book, and again, most people do not associate it with the Guinness beer, but that again was the origin. So the idea was to provide this book for the pubs where Guinness beer was dominantly sold. And they wanted to give some entertainment for their customers. So when they visit a pub, then they can make these small quizzes, which was apparently quite popular among the British people, and had a reason or had some leisure activity while drinking beer. And again, the same logic here. So it's not about, this book was not about Guinness beer. It was about these random world records that they had collected, and it was a reason to stay in a pub and drink more Guinness beer. So this is content marketing as its philosophy. It's kind of like the sneaky way, but at the same time, it's a customer-friendly way. So you're actually giving something of value rather than, promoting with ads. Now, here are some of the famous content marketing examples at the digital age. Many people have heard of Red Bull Stratos. It is probably the most well-known marketing campaign of all times. And what does it have to do with the energy drink? Well, nothing at all. And if you think about Red Bull in general, they do a lot of stuff that has nothing to do with energy drink, or maybe something to do, but the association is quite vague. It's not about the energy drink. It's about other things that are maybe associated with energetic style of life. So Red Bull is very well known, not just for this campaign, but many others, but especially this Stratos campaign has been the one that in the press has been mentioned as one of the most successful campaigns. I've never found any data on how it has increased Red Bull sales. It's probably quite difficult to estimate, but at least they got a lot of media coverage and definitely increased their brand recognition and awareness among people around the world. Another example could be HubSpot. So HubSpot is a marketing technology company founded by Ryan Halligan and Dharmesh Shah. And they decided to differentiate from the competition by launching the concept of inbound marketing. So many of you might have heard inbound marketing, and it's actually invented by the founders of HubSpot. And besides this, educational book about how to do inbound marketing, HubSpot has systematically focused on creating educational content on how to implement inbound marketing and generally how to do good marketing. So basically, they offer these tools and software that support marketing goals at many organizations, but the core of their marketing is actually about educating marketers to do better marketing. And of course, there is the link to the HubSpot tools. So if you want to do something sophisticated, then you're going to need these tools. But again, there is this indirect link to sales rather than direct link. So this is a great tool you should buy. It's about educating. Thirdly, Patagonia is one of those famous examples, which is not necessarily very much associated with digital marketing at all, but I think it's a really good example of some different kind of content marketing at the digital age. So Patagonia has systematically promoted environmental consciousness, and they've been fighting against the climate change and these types of things. And they went to a very extreme level when the founder of the company actually gave away the ownership of the company to fight the Earth's climate devastation. And they say that Earth is our only shareholder. And this is a true story. So basically, the founder, Yvon Chouinard, I'm not sure if I pronounced the name correctly, but anyway, so he gave away pretty much all the stocks to fight the climate change. And this is again not about the product, it's about the climate change. So it is a story that people want to hear. Now, taking a little bit theoretical point of view to this, so what is engaging content marketing or content? Well, first of all, it must be aligned with customers' motives to consume content. And this is a very complex figure that I'm not going to explain in detail, but if we just focus on the inner circle, kind of the like the foundation, you can see here functional motive. So people want to do stuff, they want to learn stuff, and HubSpot is a great example how they align their content with functional motives. Then hedonic motive is about I want to have a good time. I want to see something new, something cool. And I think Red Bull Stratos aligns with that kind of motive quite nicely. And then again, authenticity motive. We want to make the world a better place. We want to hear these stories. And I think the Patagonia example aligns well with this story. So this is kind of like a theoretical framework when thinking of what kind of things sort of engage customers. So either it needs to align with functional, hedonic, or then authenticity motives. Then let's move into why has content marketing become a popular marketing communication approach? The first reason why DCM has become popular is that people hate ads. So we need alternatives to advertising if we want to gain the attention of the consumers. So as you know, a lot of people use incognito browsers, they use ad blocking, they try to make the life of the advertisers quite difficult. And the reason for that is that people don't generally want to be exposed to ads. We try to deliberately avoid seeing ads. And one of the reasons for that is that the digital media is absolutely full of ads. And instead of watching ads, we would like to do something else in the internet. And that's why people are generally quite resistant toward the ads, which leads to the fact that it's really hard to gain attention with advertisement these days. These are old figures, but the idea remains the same. If you think about your personal experience, it's actually quite rare case when you click on an ad or you get very excited about the ad. Perhaps everyone can remember this one or few ads that were somehow so interesting that you wanted to learn more. But most of the time, advertising is about the product and the price. And so maybe the price might interest some people at some points, but if the advertising is well targeted. But generally, we're not very interested in ads, and we definitely don't usually want to click on those. So it's hard to get the attention of the people, and holding on to attention is even harder. So the attention span of an average person has gone lower and lower, and even if we are sort of exposed to an ad, we might not spend a lot of time thinking about the ad, so we just move forward. So sometimes we are sort of forced to see these ads, but we don't really pay attention, and we easily forget what we've seen in a minute or in an hour or the next day. So that is another great challenge. So this leads us back to the digital content marketing, which is fundamentally an alternative to advertising and promotional activities, which again focuses on this idea of value creation, so that the communication is not about the company, its products, but it's actually about creating something of value for the customers that they actually care about. Here is a formal definition of digital content marketing. This is the most widely adopted. Digital content marketing involves creating, distributing, and sharing relevant, compelling, and timely content to engage customers at the appropriate point in their purchase or buying consideration processes, such that it encourages them to convert to a business building outcome. Underlined here is the key issue. So it must be something relevant, compelling, or attractive, and then timely. It's something that you need just now. And there are generally three key principles that differentiate content marketing from general advertising. And all of these relate to this customer-centric logic, which is the key philosophy behind DCM. So first of all, the inbound logic. So the content consumption is based on customers' willingness to consume the content. So this is a movement from firm-initiated communications to customer-initiated communication, because the idea is that customers actually want to consume this content. It's not something that you're trying to force them to watch. Personalization principle. So the content is tailored to specific individuals or buyer personas, or at least specific target groups, which takes us from mass communications to personalized communications. And the third principle is journey facilitation. The content provides value to customers on their customer journeys. This is a movement from the product-centric promotions to helping customers. It's not about the company's products, but how can we be helpful for the customers? So these are the three key philosophical principles, and I have an illustrative example of each. So starting with the inbound logic. And it's easier to understand inbound logic by comparing to the alternatives, so the outbound logic, which basically resembles the general advertising logic. And this inbound outbound discussion comes from, or let's say earlier, it was labeled as pull marketing versus push marketing. So pull marketing is where you're trying to attract people because you have something of value, and then push is that you try to kind of push your offering or message in front of people. So here is a good figure or picture of how inbound and outbound marketing differentiates. In the outbound marketing, it's usually about the product. It's about sales, so direct sales. Here is a good product, come and sell, come and buy. Whereas in inbound marketing, it's usually about educating customers, about helping customers, and it's about entertaining customers. In the outbound logic, the marketing rarely interacts with the audience. So it's sort of like one-way communication. I talk and you listen. Whereas in the inbound, a key part is the interaction with the audience. So it's not just me telling you something, but there should be interaction, or at least there is ideally some interaction between the recipient and the message sender. In the outbound logic, usually the biggest budget wins. So if you're in the advertising world, if you're a big brand, if you're a big player in the field, you have much more money to spend on advertising, and then you get more reach and impressions and so on. In the inbound marketing world, the most valuable content wins. So whatever is most relevant for the customers will get the attention. So this is also a very good opportunity for smaller players, smaller brands, and this is the way how they can compete against the big giants that have bigger advertising budgets. Finally, in the outbound logic, you interrupt the customer. So you're watching a video, or you are I don't know, browsing through social media's media page, and then you're interrupted by an advertisement. I guess YouTube could be a perfect example. So you're watching something else, and then you're continuously interrupted. In the inbound logic, the idea is not to interrupt, but instead it's about permission-based marketing. So ideally, you would have customers' permission or consent to actually send them emails. So if you do send emails or whatever communication, there should be the consent that the customer is actually willing to receive this piece of content. So that's about inbound and outbound logic. Then next I have here personalization versus mass communication. So personalization is about tailoring content to specific individuals or buyer personas, or at least the target groups, different sort of customer segments, which takes us from mass communications to personalized communications. So on the left-hand side, you see a stereotypical ad. It's about the product. It's about the brand. The same message for everyone. But the ideal in content marketing is about delivering the right message to the right people at the right time and place. So it should be something relevant for that particular individual that you are trying to approach. Here is just one example of personalization. So this care of company, they ask some questions about who you are and what you need. And based on that, they start personalizing the communication. It's not just, you know, random mass messaging, but they might learn what kind of vitamin needs you have. And then you get a personalized communication regarding your customer need. And in this case, it's also goes beyond communication. So it's about also offering personalized vitamin packages. Finally, journey facilitation versus product-centric selling. So in the journey facilitation, the content provides value to customers on their customer journeys. So this is a movement from product-centric promotions to helping customers. And this kind of like the similar logic I already discussed when I talked about the web design. So it's about the helping customers to do whatever they want to do. And here is a good distinction from the cosmetics industry. So there it is one thing to, you know, promote your products, like you can see on the right hand side. So new collection coming soon. This is a cool product. This is about the product and nothing much else. It's a very different story when you take the customer shoes and or wear the customer shoes and try to think what kind of things he or she might be interested in. So, for example, a blog post, how to choose the skincare products best suited for your skin. Now, this sounds clearly something that is not just about the product, but it's about educating customers how to select a proper product for their needs. Next, let's move on to the implementation of the DCM concept. Now, by implementation, I refer to the idea of how to translate the DCM philosophy that we just discussed into practical activities. And here are a couple of figures that focus on the key activity dimensions of DCM. So first of all, the first key activity is generating intelligence about customer journeys. So as always in marketing, this is the foundation. So you need to understand the target groups and buyer personas. You need to understand their customer journeys. You need to understand how they engage with you at different stages of the customer journey. So this is the baseline, deep understanding of customer needs and then whatever they sort of need, what could be the valuable thing for them. Secondly, you need to create a portfolio of valuable content. And by portfolio, I refer to the idea that your content should cover all the steps along the customer journey. So you should have the type of content that attracts the attention and interest of the customers. You should have content that educates customers about your solutions, for example. And then you should have content that really communicates the benefits of your solution or product or service. And then finally, you need to have content that helps customers to make the most of your products or services. So you need to cover and think about all these steps and figure out what kind of content is meaningful at different stages. And the third activity dimension is engaging customers through content sharing. So first of all, you need to think about the organic visibility of your content so that customers can find your content. And secondly, when you sort of initiate the communication, you must make sure that your communication or message is relevant to the customer need. So this is about the timely content sharing that that is required when we talk about effective content marketing. Now, I'm not going to talk about generating intelligence about customer journey because we have covered this topic in a previous lecture on buyer personas. So please review those slides or videos from earlier lectures if you don't remember what I'm talking about. And I'll directly move on to creating a portfolio of valuable content. So first of all, there are many types of contents that you could at least potentially create. And of course, this is a question of what types of content might be the most valuable pieces for your target audience. On the right-hand side, you can see some of the typical content types in B2B and B2C. And the key difference between B2B and B2C is that in business-to-business marketing, the content tends to be more informational compared to B2C. So they use a lot of case studies, ebooks, white papers, and so on that allow them to really provide a lot of information for the prospective buyers that usually need it before making any purchase decisions. In B2C, then again, the content tends to be a little more entertaining, a lot more videos being used, illustrations, photos, something cool that captures the customer interest. But generally, what is a valuable content piece? Jay Baer, the author of a book called Utility, which is, by the way, a nice book to think about what is good marketing in general. Here's a nice clip, and you can watch it. Jay Baer explains what's the purpose of content marketing. And I'm just taking one quote from him. So, truly valuable content is something that customers would be willing to pay for if they were asked to. So this is not to mean that you should charge customers for consuming your content, not at all. But this is a good test to apply when thinking about whether or not your content is actually valuable. Would this be something that customers would be willing to pay for? So I think it's a nice test, and I agree with Jay Baer that this is kind of a good philosophy. Think about it. This doesn't mean, however, that all your content should be something that customers would be willing to pay for, but maybe a good principle to think about what the really valuable content might look like. Now, going back to the question of what is a portfolio of valuable content? So, in the previous slide, okay, something that customers would be willing to pay for. But what I mean by this portfolio is that you should meet the needs of different buyer personas at different stages of the customer journey. So, again, what kind of content helps you to reach and gain the interest of the customer? What kind of content sort of activates and educates the customers? What kind of content make them buy? What kind of content engages them to long-lasting relationships? So these are the key questions. I'm just showing you some random examples here. So valuable content at the read stage, what could it be like? It should be probably content that raises awareness, gains the attention and interest of the buyer personas, and directs customers to the website. So here is a good example of this type of a content from the F company. So as you can see again, it's not about the product, it's not about the service, it's a promotion, yes. but it's about a webinar where they educate you about B2B marketing strategy for long sales cycles. And as you can assume, this might be highly relevant content for many B2B marketers. So this could be something that might, attract some interest among at least some B2B marketers. The second idea at the restage is content that matches buyer personas' information search, so that your SEO is really, sorry, your content is really designed with the idea that what kind of questions do customers might have. So, for example, if you are a B2B marketing agency, many B2B marketers might, or not just B2B marketers, but marketing professional in general, they might be interested in the question of how to show the contribution of marketing. So my supervisor is stressing about showing the money, and now you might Google something like, well, how should I show this? And then Goodway Group apparently seem to have a nice piece. It's well SEO optimized, so they have a guide to measuring marketing impact on revenue. There's probably much more text below this, and it ranks the first on Google. So now you have sort of gained the attention of the company. And if the blog post is great, then perhaps there is a way to do business with this prospective reader of the blog. So that's the general idea. There's some examples. Next is the act stage. So content that increases interaction with the firm and turns website visitors into sales leads, especially in B2B, this could be the case. Now, Moz is a provider of marketing technologies and tools, especially focused on SEO, as you can see from the navigation pane. So they're not talking about their products, or yes, they are. There is, like, if you're interested in products, you can come and see, but they offer much more. It's about not about learning how to use Moz, but it's about learning how to do SEO. Because to realize that to be able to use those tools effectively, the marketers must first understand what is SEO and how to use it. And they offer very nice resources for marketers who are interested in SEO, or students who are interested in SEO. And obviously the idea is that when they start this education, they can direct this toward their product. So I assume that someone who has taken, let's say, most academic courses is more likely to buy most products when selecting the tool. So I think this is a good example. What is valuable content at the convert stage? It's probably something that prompts potential customers to product service trial and turns sales leads into buying customers. This is maybe an outlier case, but some of these software companies, they can give you a demo, or they can give you a free trial of the software so you can go and see how it looks like. And if you find it beneficial, then you are very likely to buy it, I assume. Not all companies can do this, but then it would the content should be very directly related to what are the core benefits, what's your sort of, again, value proposition, and how do you differentiate from your competitors or competitive offerings. At the engage stage, content that strengthens the relationship with customers and increases the value in use by, for example, educating customers on how to make the most of the products and services is at least one type of highly valuable content. So this is a personal case, but I've been struggling with my Dell computer when it comes to the battery life. And then I once just Googled, how can it be that my battery dies immediately? And I got some suggestions how to optimize the battery usage, and it's actually performing much well. So much happier customer now, and more likely to buy again a Dell computer than I was previously, because basically I was highly disappointed, and now I'm at least a little more satisfied. So this could be a good example to think about what might be useful to strengthen or improve the relationship with customers. Now let's take a look at HubSpot, which one I'm using HubSpot quite much because, well, they were the inventors of inbound marketing, and they are really great when it comes to content marketing and showing how they sort of do this throughout the funnel. I don't have examples from this read stage, but almost anything related to marketing technologies, inbound marketing, content marketing, HubSpot is one of the first choices. So they have really very nice organic visibility for their content, and in that sense, it reaches the customers. But when thinking of the web design, what do they do? So you can see the resources tab here. So in the ACT stage, they offer, similarly to Moz, a lot of education. So they offer blogs, ebooks, guides, free courses, and certification. There is also something called HubSpot Academy, and they actually offer quite nice courses as well to talk about inbound marketing, about educating how to do great marketing with marketing technology. Then at the convert stage, well, they have a section on why HubSpot. They offer some case studies of companies that are probably highly satisfied with using HubSpot. Why choose HubSpot? These are the core questions that customers might think when selecting between the tools. What are the key benefits compared to competitors? And then they also offer a free demo. I'm sure you can also get a free trial, I assume at least. I don't remember by heart. And then when it comes to the engagement, you have services. So if you're a new customer, there are onboarding and consulting services. So, you know, how to get started and these like things like that. If you're more experienced, there are user resources. What's new? Partner programs. There's a community. If you have a problem, you can ask questions from peer users and maybe solve them that way. And at the same time, I think this education can be also highly related to the existing customers. And I believe these are the things that help customers to make the most of the product or service that HubSpot is offering. Now, software is a different type of offering to many others. And of course, we could have these examples for all kinds of industries, but I'm taking at least a different product category here. So, thinking about the smartwatch, what could be the valuable content at different stages. At the read stage, you need to sell the problem or need. So, for example, content like why monitoring training or health makes your life better. Okay, this is, you know, my invention, but you know, something like that. First of all, create the demand, the idea that smartwatch could be beneficial. Then at the ACT stage, it could be about selling the solution. So why smartwatch is actually the best solution to monitor training and health, how it allows you to boost training or monitor health conveniently. At the convert stage, you could create content that sells the company's solution. So specifically, why in this case, I seem to have a Garmin watch there. So why specifically Garmin? What are the superior benefits that you offer that are unique to this product? And finally, you need to sell the relationship, which maybe sounds a bit funny, but anyway, you want to help customers to increase the value in use that the product provides. And you might have content on how active engagement creates additional benefits for the user, things like that. So, how to support active use of this product, and again, making the most of the product features that you're offering. Finally, the last activity dimension, engaging customer through or customers through content sharing. And I will cover this quite briefly. This relates to some of the other topics that we will be discussing in other sessions. But first of all, it requires this timely content sharing. And the idea again is to publish the right content in the right place and at the right time, and increasing the relevancy of your content for a timely customer need. So this is sort of like the ideal, which is really difficult to implement perfectly, but at least you can do things that make it at least more effective or more timely. So one is enhancing organic content visibility in digital channels. So rather than using advertising, you can be highly active on social media, participating in discussions. You can do search engine optimization, as we discussed earlier. So thinking on and investigating what kinds of questions customers have in mind, and then creating content for those questions might be good ways to do SEO and then again increase the organic content visibility. So the idea is to make your brand product offering more findable when customers are actively searching for information. The second element here is technology-enabled personalization of content delivery, which improves the relevancy of content to customers. So when you already have the consent that you can approach the customers, you want to make sure that whenever you communicate to the customers, it's as relevant as possible. This personalization can be based on analytics data on what the customers are interested in, what kind of products they've been looking at on the website, for example, previous interactions, purchases, or customer journey stages. It can be related to lead scores. It can be related to many different things. And what you need to do is to use technology to create rules in marketing automation, or then you need to have this learning data, as we have discussed earlier, and sort of help the AI make good personalization decisions. Some typical examples of again use personalization is that you, let's say, send an email for customers who have bought something 6 months ago, or whatever works for your business, and then you can maybe offer maintenance services, which often happens in B2B or in B2C. You can recommend products that are related to your previous to the customer's previous purchases. Basically anything that you feel could be relevant for different customer personas and profiles. I'm hoping again that we met the learning goals. So after this lecture, a student should be able to explain the key principles of digital content marketing. So we talked about inbound logic, we talked about personalization, and we talked about journey facilitation. So I would like you to understand the kind of foundational culture or philosophy behind content marketing and what makes it relevant for the customers. And then we discuss about the implementation of DCM. So hopefully this at least give you some ideas how to design valuable content and how to create this valuable content portfolio that matches different race stages or marketing funnel stages of different buyer personas. Thank you very much for watching the video and have a great day.